This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Norm Leahy is the Vice President of Public Affairs for Tersham Quids, online at tershamquids.com. Is that the right URL?
.org.
.org, that's right, I'm sorry. Okay. Tershamquids.org, it's TERTIUM quids.org. Now, I did minor in Latin at the College of William and Mary, but refresh my memory, tertium quids means what?
Third way. It's an old John Randolph of Roanoke thing. When he thought Mr. Jefferson went off the rails, he wrote from him and founded the tertium quids to fight against him. You ought to know that, Coy. You wrote the book.
Norm is a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, the Political Leaders Program class of 2006. And we're honored to have him back on the program. So, Norm, tell us all about Tersham Quids and what y'all do, and what is the vision of the organization?
Well, we've been around for a few years. Our main thing is we're an issue advocacy organization, which means that we can lobby. I regrettably had to go register as a lobbyist. But unlike most, I don't lobby for the expansion of the state and the increasing of taxes. We lobby for liberty and freedom and all those other quaint notions that people used to believe in and hopefully will again. One of the biggest things that we're coming up in the next session will be budget transparency, which is a rather blasé term for opening the government's checkbook so that you can see where your money's spent, why it is spent there, and what you got for it. Virginia sort of has that open right now a little bit through Commonwealth Data Point, but it's sort of like showing your checkbook around but keeping your thumb over the memo line so you don't know where the money went. And it is really one of those rare issues that enjoys broad support across parties. And really those that don't like it tend to be those who have something to hide or are really not too keen on people nosing around in the budget. It came up last year in the session. The forces behind the idea got mobilized a bit late, so it didn't go as far as it should. But like so many things, it died in the Senate, and it was largely because the Senate, and specifically Senator Houck, thought that Virginia was transparent enough, doesn't need to be transparent anymore. How dare you ask me to become even more open with your money? So we're, needless to say, going to be trying again, and when you think about it, against the backdrop of the federal government handing out money like it was, you know, Christmas in July, we need to have transparency. You need to know where the money's going. If you don't have an idea of where the money's going, why and what for, it erodes trust. And we are definitely going to be making that a top priority in the next General Assembly session.
We're talking with Norm Leahy, the Vice President of Public Affairs for Tersham Quids. You can learn more online at tershamquids.org. It's TERTIUMQUIDS.org. So, Norm, tell us exactly what you'd like to see vis-a-vis budget transparency, because of this, of course, the big session coming up starting in January in Richmond is a budget year, and they're going to have a new budget for the next 2 years, the next two fiscal years. What changes would y'all specifically like to see made, perhaps some things that they're not doing now that you'd like to see happen?
Well, yeah, this is going to be kind of an ugly session because depending upon who you talk to, the budget could be up to $4 billion out of whack.
My God. But
budget transparency is another way to think of it. It is like Google government, where you could go in, search the database, and find out if the government is, for example, why are they spending money at the Bass Pro Shop? What did they get for that? Why are they shopping at the Bass Pro Shop anyway? I found that on Commonwealth Data Point one day on a lark, and I still don't know where they spent that $500. But this is the kind of thing that a lot of other states have done. Some have done by executive order. The tools exist. It can be done with very little money, if any at all. And the state already has a platform upon which it can build. Now, quite honestly, if the state is unwilling to do it, there are those who are willing to do it for them on the outside. But since this is something that they already have in existence, they need to go that step further. And, yes, in the cloud, it's going to come out of the budget fights, it may be hard to get anything accomplished. But quite honestly, you've got to open up the checkbook. You've got to open up the government a little bit further. Otherwise, nothing they do in the future will really enjoy the respect and the confidence of taxpayers. If you want more money, fine. What have you been doing with the stuff I've been giving you so far? But, you know, that's only half the battle because It's an election year. Everybody's going to be maneuvering for positions already. We've already got what I consider to be one of the greatest Democratic gubernatorial primaries ever underway, thanks to Terry McAuliffe and his wallet. It strikes me so far that both Cree Deeds and Brian Moran have swallowed their gum at the fact that McAuliffe is going to be out there raising all of this money. And it's funny, I don't know how I ended up on any of their email lists, but I get all their stuff. And it's great to see the sniping happening back and forth. And
already,
I know the press day they had in Richmond, there was a big snit between Brian Moran and Terry McAuliffe over McAuliffe's wife, of all things. So they're already in a race to the bottom, which is just imminently entertaining for a political observer.
We're talking with Norm Leahy of TershamQuids.org, and he's a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. Norm, let's jump across the aisle here and talk about the Republicans. They had their advance this past weekend. Mm-hmm. What was your read on the conversations and the results of this event?
Well, mercifully, I didn't have to attend, but from people I know that did, colleagues and whatnot, there's the general sense. They tried to paste over the rifts that are in the party. They tried to have their kumbaya moment, but there are real problems there, but the problems are deep, and nobody knows. For example, there was a move to get rid of Jeff Frederick. There was a lot of talk about it. There were a lot of people baying for his head.
Who's the chair of the Virginia party?
Yeah. Who is the chair of the party, but when it came down to, well, okay, fine, you want to get rid of him, who's your replacement? There weren't really any candidates for that. The party backed away from sacking him, but that doesn't mean that the rifts aren't there. They still do exist, and I know that there are a lot of people who are going to be continuing to agitate for changes in either the party structure, its leadership, or both. And how those affect things going forward into the election will be very interesting to watch. And it sort of dovetails in. Last week I was at a meeting in Washington where a bunch of conservatives and state party leaders, and including a bunch of challengers, or I should say contestants, because it is like a game show, for the Republican party chairmanship, the national chairmanship, we're all talking about, oh gosh, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And there's a real disconnect between what happened in November and what they think is going to happen going forward, because they think what's going to happen going forward is that the city on a hill is within reach if they can just stick to the principles and the things that work, but they don't know how to get from there. They don't know how to get there from here. And it was amazing to see six challengers for the RNC chairmanship in one room and no fights broke out. But it was also stunning to see some people from states like Michigan and elsewhere, where the Republican Party has been just shellacked in the last few years, saying that, I've got great ideas, I can run the national party. It's like, okay, buddy, you keep running it. You'll hit that iceberg soon enough. But it's really stunning, and I know there are a few people that I've spoken with who think that it's increasingly necessary for Republicans and free market conservatives to divorce themselves from the Republican Party, that being associated with an organization that is both dysfunctional and leaderless, rudderless, hurts them. It hurts them, it hurts their ideas, it hurts their image, it hurts their ability to push for issues they think are important. And I'm beginning to hear that more and more from diverse quarters. And
why is that, Norm? Is it because the far right, the social conservatives that are part of that coalition have sort of grabbed the reins? I won't say sort of. They have grabbed the reins of the party now for the last few years. And, you know, the other folks in that coalition feel powerless and pushed out.
Well, not really. It's what's happening is you have conservatives where you have Republicans saying, I believe in free markets and limited government and all of this stuff. Ronald Reagan and Goldwater, they're my heroes. And yet they govern like Democrats. So activists, people who have given time, money, and treasure to the Republican Party think, why am I going to continue to do this when all you do is get into office and govern like the other guys?
Grow government, more taxes, that kind of thing, more spending.
Yeah. I mean, you see it in Virginia all the time. The Republicans are still trying to recover from the 2004 budget fight when they voted to raise taxes. They have never recovered from that, although some could also say they never recovered from losing Vance Wilkins, but that's another debate. But when Republicans start trying to be embraced by everybody, liked by everybody, using the Treasury to buy friends and constituencies, they alienate the people who put them in office in the first place. And that process has accelerated over the last two or three cycles to the point where they may have nobody left to alienate because their base may have walked away. They're in a very real danger of doing that, and it will be a problem of their own making.
So what do you take, personally, Norm, your solution, when you really sit down and you have to figure out where's the way out of this maze here, what's your recommendation?
I am one of those who votes with my feet and would walk away. And I have written for years, maybe you know this, that the Republicans deserve everything that's happened to them. When you abandon your principles, when you abandon the things that you supposedly believe in, you deserve the consequences. And perhaps walking through the woods without the deep woods off or a tent is just exactly what they need. And quite honestly, if they do want to if Republicans, for example, do want to change their stripes, they do want to start winning again, then they have to actually follow through on the things they say. If you're going to say that I'm for free markets, limited government, the rule of law, then by golly, you better stand up for those things once the election's over and continue to work for them all the time you're in office.
Instead of just perpetuating this idea of the growing government and more taxes and higher spending and, you know, throwing money at special interests.
Well, yes, but and also instead of being there are enough Janus faced politicians in the world as it is, and you can't afford to we literally can't afford to have more of that, especially from a party that is supposed to be based upon the ideas of free markets, limited government, the rule of law. People want there's always the old thing about truth in advertising, pure food and drug laws, that kind of thing. They want truth in politics too. Transparency is part of that, and it also reflects into the political arena itself. If you're going to say that I believe in these things, govern that way. Don't change sides once the votes are counted. It's something that they're hopefully learning that lesson. I don't know. Even Eric Cantor, for example, moving his way up the Republican leadership,
right,
voted for the bailout, the big Wall Street bailout, voted for it twice, complained that it would have passed the first time if Nancy Pelosi hadn't said nasty things. He regrets that vote now. He's told people he regrets that vote, but has he come out publicly and say, I regret this vote? No. But people like me say, you know, you have told me all these years, and he's my congressman, by the way, you supported free markets, you supported limited government, and yet you voted for the largest expansion of government in my lifetime. I can't reconcile those things. There are a lot of people that can't reconcile those things, and it's causing that party problem. Eventually, you just have to say, okay, you've got problems. I'm not going to stay in this abusive relationship. Bye. You know, it has to end.
Norm Leahy is with TertiumQuids.org, TertiumQuids, TertiumQuids.org. Norm, I've got a few minutes left here, but look out over 09 now. Big elections, a lot of local elections. Every seat in the House of Delegates is up. Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General, how do you think all of this is going to play out in Virginia? I'm wondering what kind of campaign we're going to see. What are we going to see from Bob McDonnell, who's the likely Republican nominee? Given everything you're talking about, now what do you think we're going to see from the state races as Republicans try to win office here in Virginia in 09?
Well, it will be very interesting to see, and I've heard some very disturbing things that Republicans are going to try to not offend Democrats, go along to get along in the session, and only when it's over then come up with a platform upon which they can campaign. That's not exactly a heartening start. McDonald comes out, though, that said, with a lot of support, a lot of goodwill. He is a very smooth campaigner. He's very smooth in person. Anytime you talk to him, you know that. He also enjoys the benefit of not being challenged. The Democrats have the three-way race going on, which has the potential to be very, very expensive, nasty, but again, incredibly entertaining. And so he will benefit from that. The thing is, though, if you recall 2005, Jerry Kilgore started out ahead. He was going to win, good operation. He was going to do it. He collapsed at the end. Republicans have not been able to finish off a race in this state since Gilmore won in 1997. And I think this time, because we have seen a huge change nationally, there will be a lot more attention focused on Virginia in the coming year there could be a lot more outside resources dumped into the state on both sides, because there is a lot at stake. Like you said, the House of Delegates seats are all up, so it could be one. It could definitely be the most expensive race that we have ever seen. Whether it will be a more edifying or enlightening race, I have no hopes for that. The Republicans run a very real chance, unless they really gel together and start sticking with a message that resonates, that they will lose their majorities. That remains to be seen. The ironic thing is, in the Senate, when Republicans lost the majority there in 2007, the Republican minority there did become more cohesive. Minority status tends to do that to parties. The Democrats certainly were when they were in the minority in the Senate. But it will be just fascinating to watch. And, you know, there's a huge primary, two for the Attorney General's nomination on the Republican side, three candidates in that race. The Democrats will have primaries, I think, at every level for those races. So there is going to be a huge raft of personalities running around the state asking for money, telling us things we want to hear. And the next 6 months are going to be just like every day is going to be Thanksgiving for political junkies.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, oh, boy, 2009 is even better for political geeks like us in Virginia. There's even more, especially with all these local races, to see how all these local candidates manifest the party's image at a very local level for Board of Supervisors and city councils. It's going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah. There's just going to be so much to talk about, so much to watch. We'll all need prescription glasses by the time it's over. But it'll be just a great thing. And what comes out of it, gosh, remember in 1993, after a big Democratic wave, Republicans won the governorship in Virginia, and that presaged what happened in 1994.
Yeah.
Will that happen this time? Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Norm Leahy is the Vice President of Public Affairs for TershamQuids.org. Norm, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.